You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. My name is Sean. I'm one of your hosts, and it's good to be back. It's been a while.
3 weeks, yeah.
3 weeks, yeah. So, and for anyone who doesn't know, that's Paul. Paul, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. It feels good to be back. You know, here in the studio, the Maglietta Studios. Part of the Misfit Faction Media Network. Yeah,
the Misfit Studios. Miss Studios. Yeah, I don't know. We got to think of a cool name.
Just the studio. I think works.
The studio.
You know, so if you're listening to us for the first time, great. Welcome. If you've also listened to any of our other podcasts, we have the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored, which you can catch on the MisfitMediaNetwork.com or as well as any
or
other
the
place.
MisfitFaction.com is
Misfit,
the name of
what
our...
did I say?
I have no idea.
I said MisfitMediaNetwork.com because, you know, that sounds better.
Shut up. MisfitFaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows.
You never asked me, so I think it sounds better.
You shut
change it right now.
I'm not changing it right now. Well, we pay for that.
Well, folks, it's now June. What do we want to talk about?
Well, it is
summer. Almost. Technically not yet. You know.
Stupid.
Just saying. June, was it June 23rd or 21st is the official day of summer. But
summer starts when you feel it, man.
Yeah, you were just in Jersey. How did it feel? Did it feel summer?
No.
There you go.
Shut up.
Water was 50 degrees.
The water was 50 degrees.
It was like 60 degrees out, which is, you know, not summer. But, you know, it's just like, okay, what do we want to talk about? How about we talk about sharks?
Da-da.
Da-da. And we're just like, have we talked about that before? Sharks? We talk about sharks all the time. Don't you do Shark Week, Paul?
I don't do Shark Week, no.
Nah, me neither.
The closest thing I get to watching Shark Week is the one scene in Step Brothers where they get mad that they turn the TV off. Dad, it's Shark Week. It's the closest I get to Shark Week.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about sharks, but we're going to talk about the most famous shark movie ever made.
Shark Tale.
Shark Tale? That's a good one. Yeah. I was thinking Jaws the Revenge.
Jaws the Revenge.
Yeah.
Or the one scene in Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh, directed by Max Spielberg.
Yep.
Shark still looks fake.
Exactly.
No, we are talking about the 1975 summer blockbuster. And honestly, you could even say this is the first movie. This is the movie that invented the term blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
The... You know, it has become a ritual since then that you have to have your big money-grossing movies come out at this time. Summer blockbuster, as we just said, you know, Independence Day, all those different movies have come in its wake.
And also part of why we started doing this was because the summer movie season has kicked off this.
Yes.
At time of recording, Spider-Man just came out. Fast X has come out. We got Transformers next week. Yep. We got The Flash following.
In 2 weeks.
So this is the time where the biggest movies of the year, the movies that they put the most money into,
mm-hmm.
Ironically, not for this movie. This movie, they did not have a huge budget.
Because again, the whole summer blockbuster didn't exist before this movie. And
this is kind of like Paranormal Activity, where it's like,
yeah,
we have this low budget film we're going to throw out in like October,
yeah,
and then now there's a whole genre of of horror movies that come out around that time.
Yeah, and if you people don't really understand what movie we're talking about, it's the 1975 thriller Jaws,
Dunna.
Directed by the great. At the time, people weren't sure, but now we can call him probably one of the greatest directors of our time, and that is Mr. Steven Spielberg.
Speaking of blockbusters,
yes.
Slight tangent. Did you see the blockbuster tweet about Netflix?
Yes.
For those of you guys who don't know, Blockbuster tweeted recently about, because Netflix just introduced their password sharing program where it's like $7 to share a password.
Which I still don't know how that works because all the people I have can still log in.
I know, it's weird. I still use your Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
I'll give you a dollar. Paramount. Nobody cares.
No,
which
no
is even funnier because Blockbuster is the one that says, you know, back when you rented from us, we just wanted you to rewind the movie or return it on time.
Return it on time. We didn't care who was on your account, which is BS. We did, because nothing's worse than renting a movie to someone using an account, and they're like, oh, that's my friend. And then that person don't return it.
Yeah.
And then the friend's parents come in and are like yelling at you. So Blockbuster, cool you jets, you no longer exist. So
there's one Blockbuster.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. One Blockbuster.
So Paul, Jaws. When you think of Jaws the movie, what comes to your mind first?
The show Street Sharks. Street Sharks. No, honestly, the first. So I watched this movie for the first time when I was really young, and I couldn't finish it.
Oh, same.
It's the scene. Same. The scene that got me wasn't the opening scene.
No.
Which is in itself iconic, and obviously, if you ask me about that movie, it's the first scene that most people jump to, or the dolly shot of them zooming in, mm-hmm. and you know, in the shark attack, and you know, it's a what's the main character, the sheriff's Brody.
Brody.
It's like zooms in on him, and he's like, oh. But for me, it was the scene where the guy's scuba diving and he starts finding body parts.
Yep.
Yeah, I was out the door. I was getting babysat by my cousin and she was watching it. And I had to have been like 7 maybe. Yeah. And I was like, nope, see you later.
Yeah, I think I was probably a little older when I first watched it. And I don't remember if I was watching it from beginning to end. I might have been like going back and forth into it. My dad was probably watching it. And it's the end of the movie, but the scene where Quint dies.
Yeah.
And the blood is coming out of his mouth. That was it. I couldn't watch that movie probably for another couple of years.
You know, as a child, I had a big fear of blood coming out of my mouth. Like, I was afraid, like, stub your toe, blood out of your mouth. It's like when you're a kid and all the cartoons were all about quicksands. Like, there was a lot of quicksand in cartoons back in our day.
Really?
If you watch cartoons, like, characters always got stuck in quicksand. Like, I thought it was going to be a much bigger problem in my regular life. Same with bleeding out of the mouth. I was like, oh my God, hurt my elbow. Check my mouth.
Worst ways is to get blood out of the...
It's just the most cinematic, in all honesty.
You know, it works. It's right out of the mouth. It's right in the sight of everybody to see.
At this point, I got other fears about blood coming out of other places. All right.
You're of an age.
Now I just floss and I'm like, oh, my mouth's bleeding. Darn it. Not again. An adult that flosses.
Oh,
stupid.
My God. Did you floss? No, I don't have a half hour out of my day every time to floss.
I like how the dentist will be like, when's the last time you flossed? I'm like, doc, you were there. It was here 6 months ago. What, you don't remember?
Oh, I just lied to us. I try and floss like once every
week. I actually did start getting better at flossing, and I'll start usually like 3-4 times in a week I'll do it. But
I still can't do it.
At least I brush my teeth every day.
That's what I said. I grew up, it was brush 3 times a day. So now you're telling me, you know, 30 years into my life, I got to change it up?
Yeah, get out of here.
Come on, stop, guys.
Get out of here with your doctorate.
All right. So Jaws is an interesting movie to talk about because not only, as we just said, it is the original summer blockbuster, but this is a movie that is based off an extremely popular book at the time, mm-hmm. which a lot of people don't realize, you know, that or remember that. It was a book before it was a movie.
All right, Sean, which book would win in a fight? Jaws or Jurassic Park?
Both very different from the movies, so that's a good one.
I know.
I think Jurassic Park is a better book than Jaws is.
Okay.
Nothing against Jaws as a book. It's a melodrama.
Yeah.
It's just a melodrama with a shark, but it just hit at the right time and it found an audience and it just became this.
All right, Sean. Who
cultural thing?
Who would win in a greed fight? The lawyer from Jurassic Park or the mayor of him?
The mayor.
Yeah.
The guy in Jurassic Park is a weasel. He's not like...
We're going to make a fortune.
Because he has nothing
place.
To do with it. Like, he's just his lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, the mayor is just...
He actually makes it worse.
And what's even worse is the townspeople are just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the thing.
But it's funny because like...
The kid dies and they're all just like, are you closing the beaches? And we're like, yeah.
So it's funny you say that. And the reason I say this is... So as Sean mentioned, my wife and I went down with our family down to the shore. We have a house down the Jersey Shore. And in that area, during the off season, it is a ghost town. Mm-hmm. Like, it is just dead. The fact that any of the businesses managed to survive throughout the regular year is crazy. But it's because of the summer season mm-hmm. where they make their money.
Which I totally understand.
So it's weird. Like, as a kid, you're like, they can't do that. As an adult who, like, if I had a business that thrived and my livelihood, especially mm-hmm. nowadays where everything's so expensive and, like, I if you miss, like, a dollar off your paycheck, you're kind of screwed nowadays. Yeah. You know, it's not like past generations where you could build up a big savings and then if there's an emergency, you rely on it. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck nowadays.
Yeah.
So as an adult, I'm kind of like, it's terrible, but I get it.
I get it, but it's still not like, these people acted like they didn't give a crap.
They didn't like that first kid. It's the second kid that they were
and
a little
upset about.
And
the mother slaps Brody. And I'm like, slap everybody else, please.
Yeah, go make a line. It's like the scene in the airplane.
It's like airplane. You're like, screw you.
Yeah,
screw
just
you.
Just go to the next person.
Screw you.
But anyway.
But yeah, so this movie is, I think, a moment in history because so many things happened. It obviously, created the career of Steven Spielberg, who had already directed a movie before this, The Sugarland Express, and he was a very notable TV director. So this was a huge, push for him to become this big-time director of big-budget movies. And also, it's known for all the troubles it had making the movie.
Movie would have been totally different if they didn't have any problems behind the scenes.
Oh, it's a totally different movie.
Totally different movie.
They openly say that. Like, the shark was in the movie, like, most of the time. Like, the fact that the shark didn't work made the movie more of a thriller. Mm-hmm. Suspenseful, then it would have probably just been a straight horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
If the shark, would have been much, probably more violent, probably more, whatever. I mean, could have been more hokey because the shark, yes, the scenes it's in looks good, but if you see that shark a lot more than you're supposed to, you probably start to notice it's not real.
Yeah.
But, so, did you know?
Did I know?
Did you know that the movie and the book are very different?
I've heard that rumor when we talked about who'd win in a fight with the books.
Yes. So the book, a lot more storylines with much more weirder things going on. There's like an affair between the sheriff's wife and Matt Hooper. Yeah.
The nerdy one?
The nerdy one.
Good for him.
He dies in the book.
Not good for him.
And there's also, I think, the mob is involved. With shady dealings in the town.
I knew the shark was working for the mob. He's definitely a Sicilian shark. I knew it.
So, yeah. But it's they knew what they had. Steven Spielberg said, listen, I just want to make an adventure movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to make a fun, enjoyable movie that people can go and see. I don't need any all this other stuff in there. And the author was like, I get it. Mm-hmm. It was written by Peter Benchley. He actually has a cameo in the movie.
Oh, fine.
He's the news reporter on the beach.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So,
yeah. But who'd win in a fight, though? Jaws or Indiana Jones? I feel like Indiana Jones would have... Because he gets defeated by a gunshot, technically. The shark. And I was just thinking about other Spielberg characters. So now we're just going to do this game.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Who'd you want to fight? Indiana Jones or the shark?
Well, where are we?
We're on the boat. Same ending scene.
Like, if Sheriff Brody wins, then you guys, Indiana Jones is going to figure out how to win.
Yeah, but Sheriff Brody really aims that gun. And he has the better quip. Smile, you son of a bitch.
Nah. Yeah, Harrison Ford would just look at the camera going like...
Yep.
It just blows up.
The whole shark just explodes. Why is everything exploding? See, as a kid, I didn't understand. I thought that the shark actually did explode.
Oh.
When I finally saw the movie in its entirety,
and
I was
you're like, oh, it's the compressed air. Actually explode. And the author didn't like that. He was just like...
That the shark exploded?
Yeah, he's just like, that's so unbelievable. And he goes, and people are just like, yeah, but the audience isn't going to care.
Oh, no,
that's
no,
the
no,
point.
No. We're not watching this movie for logic. It's like a good version of a Fast and Furious movie. We're here for certain things that you need to provide to us right now.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, logic is not one of them.
So what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about cast? You want to talk about plot?
We've kind of discussed the plot for the most part. Obviously, it's this town of Amity, very small seaside town that relies on the summer tourism season to basically survive throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Very realistic thing. And it is something that, the Jersey Shore is famous for, Myrtle Beach, like stuff like that, the touristy places.
Myrtle Beach, I feel like, is south enough, though, that they can survive.
Maybe Virginia Beach, then?
Yeah, maybe.
Or like your ocean cities and stuff like that.
Yeah, above Virginia, I could understand because it's probably,
So basically the movie starts off with young Chrissy Watkins. Yes, Chrissy Watkins going skinny dipping and like in the open water.
Mm.
It is the most terrifying scene in existence.
Oh, it is. It is.
It's iconic.
It is probably the most iconic scene in the movie because it's just that music.
Well, unfortunately, in the book, Chrissy and this guy, get it on first. So she dies without that. So it
yeah.
sucks.
It was also 1975. You really can...
It's amazing.
You could still do it, but...
This was a PG movie.
Oh, yeah. No, this movie would have been PG-13, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
With all the violence.
Maybe even maybe even almost an R.
Maybe.
But anyway, so obviously she gets attacked, and they're like, oh, my God, look at all these partial remains on the beach. What are we going to do? Well, we're not going to close the beach. Wait, what? That's basically the movie is a lot of Brody going, wait, what?
Yeah, because Sheriff Brody, he's a New York cop that has moved his family out here to Amity Island to become the sheriff of this little seaside town. He is there because it's like, why not? There's no danger here. There's no threat of me getting into a gunfight with, you know, a drug dealer. There's no real, it's just basically politics. And I sit at my desk all day, drive my truck around the village, nothing.
He's like a Hopper from Stranger Things.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's probably who Hopper is based on, is like Sheriff
Brody.
Oh,
I can see that, yeah.
And the movie starts off with, like, he's like, okay, it was an accident on the beach. It's totally understandable. But he immediately knows, like, there's something wrong here. It's a shark. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think anything of it because he's the sheriff. He's just like, I need to solve this. I need to resolve what the issue is, and I need to make sure no one else gets hurt.
Right.
Then it just starts to bleed through the whole town. The mayor's like, are you going to close the beaches? He goes like, yeah. And he goes, well, do you have that authority? He goes, well, I didn't think I needed it.
I thought I could just do that, yeah.
And you see the coroner like changes his opinion. And you can see Brody's just like, are you really? Mm-hmm. You're really going to do this? Okay, fine. We'll play this game. So it's not what Brody expected it to be. And you just see him. And he's obviously afraid of the water. You find that out. You know, it's like, dude, you're the sheriff of an oceanside town, and you don't go in the water, which a lot of the locals find hysterical. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what is the storyline, the main storyline here.
And it isn't until a second attack that they finally put a bounty on the shark.
They put a bounty on the shark.
For like 10 grand.
Yeah. So obviously they don't close the beaches after the first attack, and you could tell Brody is like, he's nervous because he doesn't want his kids going in the water. And we have that great scene where the second boy, Alex Kittner, goes in and you see the
floating thing.
The floating thing. Yeah. We also, the dog.
No, let's not talk about that.
Sorry.
Let's not talk about that.
You just see the stick floating in the water and you're just like, oh, no.
No, I hate when they do things with dogs like that.
Yeah.
Did you see the new John Wick yet?
No, I haven't.
We just watched it. Wait, it was really good.
And it's already on. You rented it or is it on streaming already?
We rented it.
Oh, you rented it.
Yeah, okay. My dad's house.
Oh, nice.
It was too cold to go to the beach.
Oh, my God. That's upsetting.
I know. It was pretty. Well, I mean, we walked on the boardwalk and stuff that. But I was also waiting to sit dramatically in a chair and have a dolly zoom right into my face going.
It's a great shot, though.
Oh, it's a fantastic shot. Because in all honesty, shark attacks in America are very rare. And
yeah,
usually it's like a one and done thing and you don't deal with it again. Like every once in a while, they'll be like, oh, they've been spotted, you know, this close. They don't tend to go very close. Like even like the Jersey Shore, every once in a while, you'll get like a report of a shark spotted. But they're very few and far between in America.
Yeah.
So you can understand it was an isolated, because they also try and make it seem like Chrissy was killed in a boating accident.
Well, that's what they don't want him to say, shark attack. They're like, oh, it's a boating accident. It was a propeller.
Yeah. It's a training exercise.
Yeah. So it's you know, they whatever, that goes away. The town has no idea, you know, basically. And this boy gets killed.
In front of a crowd of people.
Like, basically, it's all the townies. None of the tourists haven't shown up yet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all the townies. And it's like, you could see it on Brody's face. I mean, he is just destroyed. Because he's like, I allowed these people on the beach. This is my fault.
And this is when we get introduced to two other characters.
We introduced to Matt Hooper, played by the great Richard Dreyfuss, and Quint, played by the great Robert Shaw. And I think Quint's entrance is... Oh, I love that scene.
One of those this movie's so parodied, and like the opening scene is parodied. You see that a lot in movies.
Yeah. Oh, what was the Quint one? Who did that? Someone recently...
Oh, I thought they did it in Family Guy.
They probably did do it in Family Guy, but I feel like another movie did it where the whole screeching his fingernails on the chalkboard.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember which movie.
I'm blanking on what it was, and it's going to bother me.
That's fine. We'll figure it out.
But that, I think, is one of the better introductions to a character, because it's like you immediately know this guy's just like, I'm just in it to catch the fish.
Yeah.
That's all.
You get a lot of people trying to catch this fish, yes. And Hooper's the one that's like, it was a big one. Like, it was not a tiny shark, but they've catched like a tiger shark, and they're like, got it.
Well, I also love that when Hooper arrives, like all these people are coming out of the woodworks and getting in the boats. And he's just like, no, do this, do that, do that. And he goes, it's like, and then this one boat's got like 10 guys in it. And he goes, hey, guys, the sheriff doesn't want you all in that boat. And they're like, screw you. And he goes, okay, well, you know, do you know a good restaurant around town or a good hotel? He goes, yeah, just walk up the street. And he just turns to the camera and goes, eh, those guys are going to die. And that was the beauty of like that character. It's like he is in it just for the science. He wants to make sure that the you know, they catch the right fish that's doing this.
And then we get to the scene that made me turn this movie off as a child, where they find the giant great white shark tooth and
the head, the decomposing head.
And he drops the damn tooth. Come on, man.
I had an accident.
Stupid.
And another death, and the mayor's just like, whatever, it's fine. Can't close the beaches.
Yeah, and then you get the shark prank that leads to the real shark killing a boater and causing the oldest son to go into shock.
Brody's son. But this before that is where the two guys bring the
tiger shark.
No. The two guys bring the meat and hook it to the dock and let it float. And the dock breaks and the guys fall into the water and it starts to, the dock turns.
Yeah.
And the music is just going.
So good.
And it's like, and that's why you don't hear the music with the fake shark, because he only plays the music when the real shark is.
Oh, yeah. It's a very good musical cue that they do with that.
I mean, that is, I think we've probably talked about this before. John Williams' scores are...
Oh, he's fantastic.
Every single one of them is memorable. And the Jaws one, I mean, everybody, the story is, of course, he played it for Spielberg and Spielberg laughed. He was like, what is this? Well, this is the best you can come up with. And the more it just ran
it's right
his
up
head.
There. It's right up there with like, it reminds me of, it's very
Psycho,
simple.
The Psycho shower scene. Psycho,
it reminds me of Halloween and Friday the 13th, you know, very good with their musical cues. Like when you see the bad guy.
Yeah.
This shark is a monster. It's not, especially like in the third one where it actually has a sentience and it's like out to get the entire Brody family. It's coming for revenge in 3D. Stupid.
Oh, God.
But so they finally decide that they're all going to work together, go out on the orca and chase the shark.
Mm. And it's two different movies. It feels like two different, because once they're out on the boat,
second half of the movie starts.
Yeah.
It's funny because like when I think about this movie, I always think that the kid gets attacked like halfway through the movie on the raft. And then I forget.
It's like 20 minutes in.
Yeah, it's like in the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah. And
you get the iconic scene of him throwing the chum into the water and the shark pops up and he's like, we're going to need a bigger boat,
which was an ad lib.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's like literally one of the best lines.
Now, fun fact about this movie is Spielberg decided at the beginning, it's like, I want to film on the ocean.
Yeah.
And that had never been done before because...
Logistically,
it was just not. It's expensive, not possible. And he was like, "I don't want to be filming in a tank on Universal Studios. It's not believable. I want the camera to see the boat and see that there is nothing around them." But he had no idea of tides. He had no idea of that the color of the water changes at the different times of the day. He had to stop filming when other boats were in the shot.
The weather.
The
Deadliest Catch was filming. Got him.
SpongeBob, you know, you're disrupting the SpongeBob stage down below. You
can't mess it up, man.
No, all different things. That movie should have filmed in 3 months, and I think it took them like 6 or 7 months to film that movie.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Wild. So they go out onto the boat, and, you know, they have the great drinking scene, which is also very... Apparently, what's-his-face ad-libbed that whole...
The Indianapolis speech was written, but I think everything else might have been, you know.
It's a creepy scene.
Yeah.
It's like jarring.
Well, when he's like, you know, you look into a shark's eyes, it's black, you know, all that, and just describing. And that's a true, I mean, the Indianapolis is a true story.
Yeah.
That people didn't, because at that time when the movie was made, I think it was just deemed unclassified like a year earlier or something like that. So to hear that story, you know, for the first time for many people was probably very jarring.
Oh, God. Ugh. Yeah.
But... This movie holds up because it's, you know, it's 70s. It's, you know, the violence is not, there are some obviously pretty ghastly moments in this thing. You know, there's the death of all, you know, all the shark, and you see it. You see dismembered legs, dismembered heads. You see sharks biting into flesh. It's, you know,
especially the next one we're going to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
So lo and behold, they're chasing the shark. Again, this goes on a lot longer than I remember as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really just remembered we're going to need a bigger boat line. Mm-hmm. Them drinking and then the shark eating Quint. Like in my mind, that's what happened. Yeah, but there's a lot in between.
You get all the barrel scenes.
The barrels.
Shooting the barrels onto the sharks. That's how you saw the shark.
Yeah.
That idea came to them after the shark wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so good, though.
Oh, it's genius.
Because it adds to the suspense. Like, you're not seeing anything, but you're just seeing these barrels. And you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, my God.
It's here.
It's scary. It's really. And like, say what you will about now, modern horror movies, or let's talk modern shark movies. There are a few.
Like the Meg, I never watched it. But...
The Meg, I heard it was good, and now they have a sequel coming out apparently. Mm. But let's talk a little bit more realistic. We got The Shallows with Blake Lively came out not too long ago. It was supposedly very good.
Open Water.
Open Water was another one based on a true story. Those people didn't survive.
Really? I didn't know that.
No. Deep Blue Sea was another one that I actually left in the movie theater because it was too scary for me as a kid. Deep Blue Sea. With smart sharks.
Oh, with Thomas Jane?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a movie now that I can watch all the time because it's the CG's so bad. Sam Jackson, the meme of him getting
LL Cool J.
LL Cool J, yeah. But like they did some practical stuff in that. Mm-hmm. It was really just like the bigger effect things that just really didn't work. But they had a lot of puppets and mechanicals and stuff like that, which always works. I think there's something just so less is more about this movie that works in the best possible way.
It's happy accidents.
Yep. This movie is literally filmmakers being great filmmakers. Mm. And like, hey, here's the challenge. Well, we can't just CGI this. We can't just, it wasn't available back then.
Yeah.
And just, oh my God, it's so good.
I mean, trying to get, basically, you're filming all of the talking scenes while they're trying to figure out the shark. And he's like, well, he's thinking he's going to get fired off the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the producers stood by him, which was,
unheard of.
That was a
big moment.
Big moment for him. And it really pushed him into, being able to choose what he wanted to do. The success of this movie led to him being like, no, these are the movies I want to do. It's no longer, hey, Steven, this is what we want you to do. He's like, no.
When you have a budget of $9 million, mm-hmm. let's be generous with promotion and, probably
which didn't exist back then, yeah. really.
Well, let's say $10 million, just for the sake of it. Because obviously they probably had a budget a little bit. They probably went over budget more than once.
Yeah.
To pull in $476.5 million.
In 1975.
That is a billion-dollar movie
nowadays. Pretty much.
Like, for just one. Yeah. For just this one movie. Like, it was unheard of.
Now,
for a movie to do that is unheard of. Now movies rely so much on building universes and streaming sales now. Not even DVD sales, streaming sales.
Yeah, it's all digital. It's all really just crazy.
Remember when it was like $4 to rent a movie digitally? Now now it's like $25, $30 to begin with, and then it'll drop down, and then it'll go onto a streaming service, and you're like, Jesus, like it's a whole other business. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we joke in like Spaceballs, it's like the movie's done before we even, finish making it. Nowadays, in all honesty, if they really wanted, they can literally put a movie onto a theater and at the same time stream it.
Well, they were doing it.
Super Mario was doing it.
Yeah, they were doing it back during COVID. They were releasing it to theaters and releasing it to digital.
It's not like streaming. It was back in the 90s where they had to reconvert it for video and had to create all the videos.
And then DVDs.
You had a factory that was making all these things.
It's crazy. It used to be, depending on how big the movie was, it was in theaters, and then it would be about like a 2 to 3 month period before
sometimes
you would
it felt
see
like
it.
Even longer.
Sometimes. Because also that became an event when movies were released on video.
There was nothing better than you're watching like a Disney DVD or a Disney video. And at the beginning, it's like coming soon to movies and then coming soon to home video.
Oh, absolutely. And you'd be like, oh, crap, that's coming out. Like,
I forgot about that movie.
And then it's like, what's the next animated movie coming out?
And that's why it's great nowadays. Like, yeah, we've missed a few movies in theaters, but we were like, we just got to wait like 4 weeks.
It really is crazy.
Shazam was on HBO Max like less than a month after it came out.
Yeah, I wanted to see that movie air, and it's already on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. I wanted to go see Super Mario, and now I'm just waiting for it to pick its streamer at this point. Because you can rent it online, but it's also still in theaters.
Probably going to go Max. So
I hope so, because I still need to see it. Dying.
It's so good.
But anyway, so this movie ends with, the iconic scene. Quint gets eaten alive and smile, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. And there was no obviously planning for this to be a sequel or anything like that.
No, there was
it just,
not.
It was obviously the victim of it being a huge money earnings
ironically,
for Universal.
The studio became the mayor, where they focus so much on money and not so much on the safety of the general public.
That's true.
Because watching the sequels is dangerous. God, it hurts.
I will say the second one actually is not horrible.
Is it the only one where Brody comes back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Brody is Roy Scheider. The only reason Roy Scheider did that movie, I think, is because he was under contract to Universal.
But you look at the sequel, and the sequel follows the same typical sequel problem.
Mm-hmm.
They doubled the budget
of
$20 million, and it only pulled in $208 million.
Yeah, because it was just not a good story.
And that was back in the day where if I went to go see a movie and I told my friend I didn't like it, they're not going to go see it.
Yeah, it was all about word of mouth. Word of mouth. Which, really, does word of mouth even still exist? I mean, I think it's still a factor.
I think it is still a factor because now word of mouth can be, like, this is word of mouth right now.
Well, like, yeah, it's word of mouth. And also with movies just are much more expensive now. I mean, I think word of mouth would be more of a big factor in going to see a movie.
There was also a big, you know, big belief that a lot of studios were review bombing or adding good reviews to the Disney was notorious. Oh, for
all
it.
Studios. I mean, whenever you saw trailers, I mean, you would hear the Siskel and Ebert gave it two thumbs up, that thing, whatever.
The greatest insult of all time was in the Godzilla movie where he goes, you know what I think of your campaign? And just does a thumbs down. Yep. Yeah.
That was
got him.
I always remember about that movie. I was just like, you know, my dad would be like, oh, you know, that's based on Siskel and Ebert. And I'm like, why?
Because they hated the movie.
Well,
because
they hated all of Roland Emmerich's movies. And he's just like, screw you guys. Like,
screw you guys.
It's but even like any movie, it's like, oh, this movie's amazing, said so and so of the Dallas Times. It's like, that doesn't mean anything to people who live in New York.
I love the out of context reviews where like, you know, they'll take like a full review and just take like three words that sound really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, enjoyed and contemplated, but it could have been like the rest of the sentence was, I didn't really enjoy, and then I contemplated not going to a movie ever again afterward. Yeah. Like, it's, you know,
and then also you get the guy doing the voiceover for the trailer, and he sounds so uplifting. He's like, so and so said it was the greatest time ever.
I like
in a movie
the epic
theater.
The epic voice movie guy in a world like all that. I love it. I miss good trailers like that.
Yeah,
because nowadays when they do trailers like that, it's like a parody film. Like a free guy.
If you hear a voiceover, it's like, okay, this is a joke.
The best were the Muppet ones. When the new Muppet. Wait, is this a Muppet movie? It's so good. They did a great job with stuff like that. But anything else on Jaws?
Not really. We talked about the sequel. I think that's...
Yeah, we try not to... We didn't want to... We were debated doing the whole series, but in all honesty, this is the movie that matters.
You gotta talk about this movie. And, you know, there's always been rumors, like, are they going to remake Jaws? Are they going to bring Jaws into the 21st century?
Oh, God, I hope not.
And, again, I am not... This movie is a cinema classic. It truly is. But I don't hide from the fact that this movie is a happy accident, as we've said. This movie was supposed to be a totally different movie, and it just happened to be luck of the draw that the shark didn't work, and Spielberg was quick on his toes and was like, oh, I got an idea. Let's use these barrels, and it'll be a way of us saying the shark is there, but he's not really, yada, yada, yada. If you were to remake this movie, like, I feel like the shark would be in it all the time. It would be a CGI shark, yada, 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 and it would just not have the same heart to it. It would not feel the same way. And that's the problem with most remakes.
All right, so really quick, I just pulled this up. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
List of natural horror films. Horror films where it's like a natural cause.
Yeah.
Okay? You got the Jaws series.
Uh-huh.
These are just sharks. Ready?
Oh, okay.
Jaws, Great White, Deep Blood, Deep Blue Sea, Red Water, Open Water, The Reef, Shark Night, Bait, Sharknado, 47 meters down. That was the Blake Lively one. 47 meters down. Great White and The Requiem.
Why is Sharknado in there?
Because it does involve sharks. The first one, anyway. It doesn't show any of the sequels. Let's see some other animal-based movies. Let's see. All right, here's one that I didn't even think of. Ants. Killer Ants.
Okay, not the Woody Allen DreamWorks movie.
I was just thinking about those movies. I really do enjoy that and A Bug's Life. They're very different movies, but at the same time, they're the exact same movie.
Totally off subject. Hey, so me and my girlfriend Kay, we went to trivia at the Peekskill Brewery in Peekskill, New York. For anyone out there who doesn't live in New York, great little brewery, good beers.
And I went.
Yeah. And so we went on Thursday night, and one of the rounds was a movie round. But the guy was like, you know what? I'm going to do a clone round. And I'm like, where's this going to go?
Oh, all right.
And every question was, in 1998, Disney released A Bug's Life. What DreamWorks movie came out in the same year that is some people argue a direct clone of A Bug's Life, or Bug's Life is a direct clone of this? And the whole round was all about like these clone movies.
Fun.
So like it was...
No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits. Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Thank you.
I speak Sean.
Yeah, Snow White and the Huntsman and Mirror Mirror.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that was like the whole round. I thought that was really good. So
All right, Ants. The Naked Jungle in 1954. Them in 1954. Phase 4.
Oh, Them is a great movie.
Phase 4, 1974. Empire of the Ants in 1977. And it happened at Lakewood Manor, 1977. So the world is due for an ant movie, is what I'm saying.
Well, they're getting one. They're remaking Them.
Oh, that's funny. Let's see. Pick another animal or something.
Well, I know bear is Cocaine Bear.
All right, hold on. Let me find bears. All right, Grizzly in 1976. Prophecy in 1979. Grizzly Rage in 2007. Into the Grizzly Maze in 2014. And Black Country 2014. They don't mention Cocaine Bear.
Interesting.
Cocaine's not natural. But I did want to mention one other thing before we wrap up. One of the best movie-going experiences or theme park-going experiences was the Jaws ride.
Oh, I missed the Jaws ride.
So
you can still experience it at Universal Studios Hollywood, though.
So we went in Universal. I've been on that ride maybe three times.
Yeah.
The last time, I think, was...
No, it was already gone when we went.
The last time
they were building Diagon Alley.
The last time I went, our family went, and it was at the end of the night. It was the last
ride.
Show. And I think they weren't even going to do it, but there was enough people that they're like, all right, we'll do one more. And it was just getting dark. So it made... That alone made the ride so much better, just that it was dark. And also, the kid who was doing it still gave it 100%.
Well, that's a good trooper right there.
Like, to be at the end of a day in June, July, whenever we went, and it's the last, and it's just getting dark, so you know it's like 8 o'clock. Because that was a big thing with these rides. The whoever was doing the ride had to be good at it.
For anyone who's never been on, you know, the Jaws ride, it's very similar to the Jungle Cruise at Magic Kingdom and Disneyland, where it's a boat or whatever, and, you know, the guy driving the boat is, he's acting. He's part of the storyline. He's putting on a show for you. And so, like, they got to be really into it.
He shoots at the shark at one point.
Yeah. They had that with the King Kong ride, too. They have it with Jungle Cruise. You know, it's all... But fun fact, that ride was a hot mess, too, when it started.
Oh,
like,
I can
just
imagine.
Like the movie. So, like...
And that's one that's just constantly doing the same thing over and over.
Oh, yeah. It's basically, you know, that guy's got to do that. I mean...
I think they had, like, three or four people that rotated.
Well,
so,
I think there's probably, like, four boats going at all at one single time, and it probably fits, like, 20 people in the boat. Mm-hmm. But you would think one time around the ride is, what, 10 minutes? That guy's doing that, like, 10, 20 times probably before he, like, takes a break. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be... He probably comes up with also, I'm sure every boat ride he's got to come up with a different story, like maybe just to make it better for himself. I don't know.
Just have some fun with it.
Have fun with it. I always joke. I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to be the person on one of those rides.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
All right, Sean, last one. Who'd win in a fight? The shark from Jaws or the alligator from Lake Placid?
I was never a fan of Lake Placid.
Really? You didn't like Lake Placid?
No.
I like
I got to go with shark. Even though Lake Placid, that thing is like much more...
Did you know that
ferocious.
They did a Lake Placid versus the Anaconda?
Really?
From Anaconda? Yeah, in 2015.
Thank you.
And for those of you who
aren't
sure. The
Anaconda from Anaconda.
I wasn't sure if you weren't, if you didn't know.
I was just the way you said that. It was just really funny.
You're welcome.
It's like, you're going to take his face off?
Like
his face off?
It's the best movie line ever. But, yeah, I think that's it.
We're kind of just... Going through the motions here, folks. I'm sorry.
No, we're not. We're doing our best.
We're
just
doing
like
our
that
best.
Last guy, the last ride of the Jaws.
Right, like, yeah.
That
yeah.
guy trying his best.
Put our best into it. So we don't have a Fan Feedback Friday. We're gonna skip that this week, and we'll bring it back next week. Sorry, we're getting back into the groove of getting back into this thing weekly. But this was fun. So we're going to see where we go from here. We really don't have anything planned out. We're going to try
Summer Blockbuster Month.
Summer Blockbuster Month, okay. Plus maybe, you know, we're going to try and see...
Transformers
with the Flash in the next 2 weeks. So look, well, Flash you'll see on Multiverse Fancast. Transformers, if we do one, you'll obviously see here on Cinematic.
And we started Conspiracy Theory Month on MF Uncensored.
I am looking forward to that. Yeah, so please keep me in the loop on that.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry.
Because, damn.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time.
I'm still waiting for the day we do JFK on the movie JFK on Cinematic.
Like in... The movie JFK, based off JFK?
JFK?
What?
So,
yeah. All right.
So, yeah, this was fun. Paul, why don't you tell everybody where they can get more Misfit Faction Media Network.
The internet.
Ah, there you go.
Try the internet, everyone. Now, if you guys go to our website, obviously, themisfitfaction.com.
I still think mine sounds better.
You'll find more of our content, including news, reviews, articles, and more. Our merch store also is on there, so make sure you pick up your Misfit swag. Sean's actually wearing some Misfit swag right now.
Yeah, it just happened to be the what shirt I pulled out of my dresser.
It's kismet. I love it. But you can also find us on all the social media. If you type in Cinematic Adventures or the Misfit Faction, we're on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all those. So make sure you guys take a look at that. And make sure if you guys are listening to us on the go, you download the episode, you leave a review, star ratings. It really does help the show. We've had a lot of great new listeners, and we're really excited. So if you guys are new listeners, reach out to us. Tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about on the podcast, because it's a combination of new and old movies. New, less and less. Old, more and more. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
All righty then. So we will look forward to talking to you guys next week. As always, I'm Sean.
And I'm Paul.
And everybody have a good start to your summer.
Dun-dun.